Okay, can we get everyone's attention real quick? Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to go and get started with our session. I want to say thank you for everybody attending. We really appreciate your time. We know there's a lot of other great sessions going on today at MMS, so we appreciate you taking out your time to attend our session. I see there's a lot of people, so we're really, really happy about that. However, I have a really important question before we get started. Who would like some free money?
Yeah!
All right. So here's the problem, right? I'm not a baseball guy. I can't throw very well. That's why I'm in software, honestly. So if you want some free money, you got to come a little bit closer. You got to meet me halfway, because I'm not going to throw all the way back there. Honestly, I'm serious. You want some money? A couple seats up. We'll throw a couple chips. If you can't catch it, you probably should come a little bit closer then. All right. Ready? So who wants a couple bucks? All right. There's one. Two. Here's one right there. A couple more, ready? Going in the back. I'm trying, man, I'm trying. Where are you at? Wait, it's like the cops. I can't see up here, man, it's crazy. I got one left, who wants it? Give it to me right there. Yeah. All right, excellent. Now, you got the money, right? There's a catch. There's a catch to the money. If you win on the slot, you gotta split it with me, all right? So just keep that in mind. All right, I need the money, honestly, I really do. All right, so we're gonna get started. Again, I am Tony Sanchez with Citrix Systems. One of my roles here at Citrix is an alliance architect, so I work specifically with Microsoft, other partners like HP, Cisco, and so forth. So a lot of things I do are relative to Zen Desktop, scalability with Hyper-V, scalability with System Center, Zen App, you name it. That's kind of my role and what I do at Citrix. I work very closely with our field, as well as Microsoft and Citrix Product Management. We do have Citrix Product Management with us today. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and pass the baton over to Prasanna. If you can introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Prasanna Padmanabhan. I'm an engineering manager at Citrix. I've been with Citrix for about 10 years now. More recently, for about the last couple of years, my team has been working on the Citrix Zen App Connector for System Center Configuration Manager. And you're going to be looking at some great demos and some nice content here about the Zen App Connector. So.
And I'm Patrick Carey. As Tony mentioned, I'm part of the product management team at Citrix on Zen Desktop. I manage our provisioning technologies, provisioning services in MCS, and also our integrations with the Microsoft System Center suite.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started with the presentation. We do have some good demos, and we do have something to give away. So again, in conjunction with money, we've got an awesome 32-gig USB 3 drive that's wicked fast. It's well over $100 for this drive. So someone's going to win it, and I'll tell you how later on during the presentation. So in terms of end-to-end computing, as you can see, it's not your grandfather's Citrix, to be honest with you. How many of you out there are Citrix administrators or architects? Or do anything with our products? Excellent, excellent. What about my System Center config and VMM admins? Where are you guys at? Now, how many of you wear more than one hat and do both? Ooh, that's pretty good. It's impressive. So as you can see, we've had to evolve our product line and figure out ways to make things more integrated from the management stack all the way to the VDI stack and managing all of that from an end-to-end perspective. One of the key things that's important to us is mobility. If you haven't figured that out yet, come visit our booth. You'll see we have a wide array of devices that we like to showcase. It's important to us. As you can see, it's also important to Microsoft for Configuration Manager 2012. The ability to deploy mobile apps to non-managed clients, that's a big thing. It quite honestly is. Great example is my children. They go to school every day, and this is the truth. They actually log into a Zen Desktop session. They're in kindergarten and fourth grade. So my kids log into a Zen Desktop session every day to start their whatever they're going to do. They're going to learn about history. They're going to learn about this subject. So it's important for them because they have mobile devices that are tablets that log into that Zen Desktop session as well as full-blown PCs. So it's important for us that we make sure that we have wide array to support any device from any user over any network and any connection for that matter. Some of the benefits you'll see, if not everyone is familiar with Citrix, because I did not see every hand up. For those that aren't, again, this is for those people. We are definitely the market leader. If you haven't figured that out, we have a big presence here. Always have a big presence at any Microsoft show. We deliver what we believe is the best virtual desktop experience, bar none. And we do that by leveraging our HDX technologies. And we take those technologies and link them together, not just providing that Windows desktop, but we go one step further. And we integrate the rest of the Microsoft stack, specifically Hyper-V, App-V, and so forth. So we bring all that end-to-end management for user state, app state, as well as OS state, all in our end-to-end platform. So when user logs on, they're going to get that best experience, whether it's a VDI session that's here in front of me or 10,000 miles away. So those are key things. As you're designing architecture, you have to look and find out who provides the best management, who provides the best way for users to access on just about any device. And once you get to those questions, you'll figure out, well, it's a pretty simple answer because Citrix and Microsoft do that together the best. As far as 2012, we made a lot of progress. Who was here last year by show of hands at MMS? Excellent. So a lot of you guys saw even the year before, actually, when we did our first release of Configuration Manager for ZenApp with SCCM 2007 R2 and R3. Really, really big improvement because we realized that, as you guys told me, not everybody just has one job. Everybody wears different hats nowadays. So it's important to be able to take those people that wear different hats and say, you know what, we can find a way for you to do your job as well as work with your other team in a large enterprise, per se, and get those applications deployed easily. So whether it's ConfigMan, whether it's VMM, which you'll hear about, and whether it's SCOM, each one of those on the 2012 product line have significantly increased. I'm talking light years in terms of difference on how we leverage that for ZenApp, for application delivery, as well as Zen Desktop or virtual desktop. So those are key things you need to keep in mind. When you're building your architecture, you have to figure out where do they integrate in the system center stack and who does it the best and who has it in terms of the easiest way for me to set it up and deploy it. So ZenApp, Zen Desktop, those are our primary ones, definitely our bread and butter, so to speak. But Zen Server as well, for those customers, they do have a use case for that. Again, that's manageable by VMM 2012 if you didn't know that. That is something we came out with last year as a prototype and is definitely full-fledged and out now in the market, as well as NetScaler. So if you're looking at building each one of those architectures, know that there is an appliance or a role that can be enabled on Hyper-V. So we have NetScaler for Hyper-V as well, and each of those components can be tied together from an architecture perspective. So from that overview, I'm going to go ahead and pass this over to Patrick, and Patrick's going to go more into the management and monitoring.
To understand the way we integrate with Configuration Manager, I think it's first important to understand the core of the way we provision machines for VDI and even for ZenApp environments. So rather than traditional image management where you build a golden master image, sysprep it, and then copy it onto each physical or virtual machine, the Citrix model is fundamentally based on separating that image into multiple layers, into a base OS layer, a application layer, and then a user information, user data layer. And our provisioning technologies, provisioning services, and machine creation services are based on using a shared copy of that base OS image and then delivering that out in a shared fashion to all the virtual desktops or virtual servers that that you're managing. So the key important thing here is it reduces the management surface down to a single image. You do all your patching on that and not on n number of desktops and servers after that. Now, I said that we divide it up into OS, apps, and user information, and it's not a strict layering like that. In most cases, what admins will do is the base image will be the standard enterprise build. So it'll have the OS at the right patch level, and then the ubiquitous applications for the company. From there, the other apps are delivered via App-V or something like ZenApp, and then other apps are left for department heads or individual users to install. So there's a problem with this model when it comes to trying to manage it with Configuration Manager. First, Configuration Manager is based on a paradigm of managing machines, not shared disk images like we use. Those shared disk images, because they are shared, are read-only, just like a snapshot in storage. And updates, if you update the machines that are running off of that shared image, our technologies have a model where we start each machine clean on each reboot. So any updates you do would be lost. So the ramifications of that are is that in the past, before we developed these integrations, administrators would end up patching the images manually. We've worked with Microsoft and added capabilities into our provisioning services product called VDisk Update Management. And that allows you to package and push updates and have them be applied to the shared image that is being used for your virtual desktop deployment. Now, as I had said, Configuration Manager is based on updating machines, not images. So we provide a machine for that for Config Manager to target, and we call that an update VM. You register that update VM with Configuration Manager, and then it becomes the update surface for that shared disk image. So the way you do this is you add the disk image and assign it to the VM, and then you have this capability in the product to define an update task, and it's like a recurring appointment in Outlook. So you'll name the task, you'll set an update schedule, you'll indicate which disks are going to be updated on that schedule. Whether you're using SCCM or WSS to patch them, we actually support both. And then there's some various points where you can customize this with pre- and post-process scripting. When you're done, it allows you to either push the image all the way out and upgrade your production machines, or leave them in a test environment, or even leave them for an administrator to do further updates on. So how does this work? So the SCCM admin does what they normally do, which is apply updates or application packages to a set of machines, including the update VM. That gets staged on the update server. That update task that you create, when the schedule elapses, it will start up, and it will basically create a new snapshot of that shared image. It'll start the update VM you define, which will load up our client software as well as the SCCM agent. We then signal the SCCM agent to do its job, which is to contact the update server, download, and apply the patch. That update then gets saved into the new version of the disk, and then we shut everything back down on that update VM. And then that all the machines booting off of that disk can be upgraded off of it automatically after that. The next thing that we've done in recent releases is add updates both to our Core Zen desktop product, and we've worked with Microsoft for improvements that you'll see in Configuration Manager 2012. These include new virtual desktop attributes that help you categorize and apply policy uniquely to virtual desktops. We've addressed a problem with generating unique machine IDs for pooled image desktops, and we've added update control for shared image desktops. So let's look first at the new attributes for these virtual desktops. In Config Manager 2012, there's two new categories of machine attributes that can be used to customize your policies to virtual desktops. The ones in the column on the left are generic. They apply for Citrix or Microsoft or any other vendor that you're using with Config Manager. And these include the host identifier, which is a pointer to the broker that the desktop is running in, whether or not it's assigned to a user, is it a shared image a desktop, a pooled desktop, or a dedicated desktop, is it virtual, and then there's a partner flag that's in there. However, there's Citrix-specific attributes that are exposed in Config Manager 2012 as well. Some of these mimic the generic ones, like the broker site name, is it virtual, is it assigned, do the OS changes persist. But some of them are specific to the Zen desktop solution. Those include the catalog name, the desktop group name, The persistent data location is an indicator of where the pooled desktop is storing information that will be persisted between reboots. And then the personal vDisk drive letter corresponds to the new technology that Citrix added here in the last few months, the RingCube personal vDisk technology. I'm not going to go into that today, but put simply, that technology allows you to take a pooled, shared image desktop and personalize it just like you had a full OS provisioned on it. Here you can see how these will show up in OneView and Configuration Manager. This is the Resource Explorer. And you can see for this particular desktop, all the Citrix-specific attributes are available under that Citrix Virtual Desktop Info node. Again, you can use these when defining policies for reporting or targeted groups, you know, custom groups. And they allow you to align your definitions of collections in Configuration Manager with collections that are in the Zen Desktop deployment, so the desktop catalogs and desktop groups. Using queries for these attributes, it's easy to make sure that you're seeing the same groups of machines, whether you're in the Configuration Management console or the Citrix console. The next thing that we added in the last release was a solution for making sure that each desktop that's built off of a shared image registers uniquely with Configuration Manager. In prior releases, what would happen, you would install and register the agent in your master image. It would generate its GUID at that point in time. And then, unless you did some custom scripting work, every machine that you provisioned off of that would basically present itself as the same ID to Config Manager. That's been fixed in this release. We worked with Microsoft to develop that solution. It works seamlessly. There's really no actions for the administrator to do. The SCCM agent will talk to our software, identify a secure, persistent location to store its GUID, and then uniquely generate it, and then reread it whenever the machine is rebooted. The last thing that we added in the last release is what I would call update control for shared image desktops. So another challenge that administrators had with our shared image model was that that update behavior, you didn't want it to go to the desktops that were pooled off of the image, but the base image was generally in a locked state. You needed to find a way to control when the updates were sent to which machines. So there's this new capability that I'll show you in a second in Config Manager 2012 that allows you to selectively turn just the update behavior on and off so that you can retain the compliance management and monitoring and inventory reporting capabilities that you need in the agent, but only instruct it not to download the updates when it's running in a pooled image. You would enable this for your master machines and then disable it for the machines that are cloned from it. So the master machines you do want the updates sent to, the cloned ones you don't. There's a two-step process for this. The first is you create a policy to define this behavior, and then you apply the policy to a set of desktops. The way you create the policy is in the Config Manager console under client settings. You right-click and you create a custom client device setting. And that brings up a dialog that looks like this. You'll name the setting and you select the computer agent. And then it's going to be impossible to read in the back of this room, but the setting that's second from the bottom, and I'll read it for you, it says, agent extensions manage the deployment of applications and software updates. That's a very long-winded way of saying is when that is set to true, the SCCM agent isn't going to download updates. When it's set to false, it will. So you'll define a policy that sets that to true. And then now what we want to do is apply that policy to a collection of virtual desktops that are cloned off of this shared image. So you'll right-click on a collection. You'll right-click on the policy. You'll apply it. It'll give you a dialog like this where it'll have, in this case, the standard collections defined as well as any collections that you have added to that list, and you can apply it to them. Those of you who are more skilled in setting up the rules engine inside of Config Manager will probably group your master image in with your pooled desktops and use some of those other attributes that I showed you earlier to conditionally apply this policy rather than do it manually. So get Outlook to wake up, or get PowerPoint to wake up. There we go. The last thing I want to talk about is something that's not so much that we've developed, but something that we have a partner that we're working with. So all the Config Manager work is what we would call, you know, day one management, getting the environment up and running and configured. But we're also focused on day two management and monitoring through System Center Operations Manager. And we've been working with a partner, Comtrade, who is here at the show, and they have built a set of management packs for Operations Manager for the Citrix software. These allow you to plug in monitoring of Zen App, Zen Desktop, Zen Server, provisioning services, the web interface, the bulk of the infrastructure that goes into a Citrix virtualization environment, and expose that into a System Center. The Comtrade solution provides a automatic a topology discovery. It's an agentless implementation, so it will read into the systems, map out your Zen Desktop or Zen App deployment, and plug it into Operations Manager. It provides service health monitoring. It provides monitoring of desktop registrations and provides knowledge, embedded knowledge base for triage or best practices for remediation. It monitors logon sites to make sure that they're all registered and running. And it allows you to track historical trends for desktop and user logon history. And then it also monitors provisioning issues that you may have in your environment. So importantly, as anybody who's using SCOM knows, is it's a framework. There's a lot of management packs that Microsoft provides and other vendors provide, and it provides a single pane of glass. So these management packs make it easy for you to use your tools, not ours, and be able to monitor and triage across the entire infrastructure, both the Citrix software pieces, but also the other pieces that would be involved with quality of service, so your network and your storage assets as well. So if you have a chance, I recommend you can drop by our booth and see their solution, or again, they have a booth in the expo hall as well. So with that, we're going to shift from what's in the product today to an insight of what's coming in the product soon. And for that, I'm going to hand over to Prasanna, who's going to walk you through some updates to the Zen App Connector that's coming.
You want to take some questions in the meantime?
Actually, before I hand over to Prasanna, does anybody have any questions on the updates that we've put into the product already? You'll also have another chance at the end of the session. No?
All right.
More time for you?
All right, so Patrick touched upon the provisioning process for creating a virtual desktop environment. What I'm going to be talking about is application delivery, right? That's another big piece of the puzzle. So the goal of delivering any app to any user from any device over any network is a shared goal, is a shared vision between us and Microsoft. And we live and breathe this every day, and in the last year or so, we've been working hand in hand with them to develop a solution that allows Config Manager as a single pane of glass to deliver Citrix applications, Zen App applications to your end users. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. I'll talk about the value proposition first, and then we'll go into a kind of a sneak preview demo of technology that we're working on. So let's start with the 30,000 foot view first. So before we talk about the Zen App Connector for Config Manager, let's take a step back and understand Config Manager at a high level, right? Great solution. It's been around for a long time. Very nice enterprise class product that's used to manage your entire Windows infrastructure, right? Windows PCs, Windows laptops, Windows phones, Windows servers. And the reach of Config Manager today is generally limited to domain users who are within the classic IT periphery, users who are logged on from within their workplace. So Config Manager is like Popeye the sailor, right? Great sailor, nice guy. But what he needs sometimes is the can of spinach. The Citrix XenApp connector plus Citrix receiver is that can of spinach that gives Config Manager more muscle now to reach more endpoints, right? Non-Windows devices, your thin clients, Linux thin clients, iPhones, iPads, Android devices that are becoming more and more mainstream, right? Consumerization of IT, you gotta embrace it, can't fight it. And more locations, work from anywhere, right? Supporting a whole variety of work styles. Work from the beach, work from the airport, get plugged in from a coffee shop, doesn't matter. Citrix and Microsoft combined together make this happen, okay? So, just to sort of summarize what the connector does for you, one, it unifies, right? Using a single pane of glass, which is a Config Manager console, now you can manage all your application deployments. The traditional MSI and AppV, but now also XenApp deployments, along with mobile and everything else. Using Citrix Receiver, you can deliver any application to any user coming in from any device. The connector does this in such a way that application deployments on XenApp servers happen in a gracefully orchestrated manner. It's not as simple as just installing the app and rebooting the server because you have hundreds of users logged in, right? So it does it in a way where it creates no downtime for users. Think about it as resurfacing a highway, right? Even if it's just a 1 mile section of the highway, you can't shut it down even for 5 minutes because it's going to cause massive traffic disruption. So what you do is you close one lane, finish surfacing that lane, traffic still flows through lanes, two and three, and then you basically repeat the process across all the lanes. So that's kind of how Citrix does it, right? Server by server. And reuse, leverage all the existing infrastructure investments that you've already made in XenApp and Config Manager. The connector is free. So you can reuse your resource definitions, your app definitions, and so on. All right. So what's new in Config Manager 2012? You guys might know this already. Until Config Manager 2007, there was a very system-centric view of Config Manager, right? It was about managing machines, managing hardware, managing phones and PCs and so on. With Config Manager 2012, Microsoft went back to the drawing board and kind of reframed the problem as one of how can I get apps to users? It's no longer about getting apps to machines. It's about putting users at the center of the IT universe. And once you reframe the problem as a user-centric problem, Config Manager is now about all these things, right? It opens up a whole range of possibilities. It's by empowering users, self-service IT, user device affinity, workforce mobility, consumerization of IT. And these things have been in Citrix's DNA for a long time, right? This is what we've been kind of doing as a company for the last 10, 15 years. So when Microsoft revealed their plans of Config Manager to us, we were extremely excited because this now brings a lot of the synergies between our companies to light. So what's new in Config Manager 2012? Everything, right? It's redesigned from ground up. It's a much simpler administrative model. Infrastructure-wise, it's much simpler as well. And you can see here, I've listed some of the new concepts. There's things like supersedence. There's the application catalog. User-centric administration, deployment types, support for phones, et cetera. But the ones that matter to Citrix and the ones that matter to you as people managing Citrix deployments are these three, right? Deployment types, user-centric administration, and the application catalog. And we'll deep dive into these three. So let's start with deployment types. So imagine that I'm the config manager admin. My goal is to make sure that I deliver Adobe Acrobat Reader to Tony. He's my user. My question is how? How do I do this deployment? And that's answered by deployment types, right? Or deployment technologies. I could either use AppV, I could use, you know, MSI, standard MSI installers. I could, you know, if it's coming from a mobile device, I could use cap files. What Citrix has added to this is extending the deployment type model to add XenApp as a new deployment type. Right? XenApp is now a first-class citizen in the Config Manager console. And the XenApp deployment type is, it behaves in a very natural way. The semantics are very logical. It follows the other deployment types, right? So from a mental mindset model, it's very easy for the administrator to grasp the concept of a XenApp DT, and I'll explain that in the demo. But how do I choose between these deployment types, right? It could be based on the hardware environment for the user. Is Tony coming in from a laptop or a desktop? Does he have enough CPU? Does he have enough RAM? Does he have enough disk space? And based on those things, we can choose the best deployment type. Or it could be based on software. What domain does he belong to? Does he have a certain version of antivirus installed? Does he have, is he logged on from a secure computing device or not? So you could get you could create these sophisticated rules now that basically say, for example, if I'm coming in from a secure corporate laptop that, let's say it's a 10-year-old laptop, doesn't have a whole lot of RAM on it, maybe the best choice for me is to use XenApp, right? Because it doesn't consume, it consumes virtually no resources on the client. Well, if you're coming in from a secure laptop but you have plenty of hard disk space, maybe AppV is the best choice, right? Also, Microsoft has gone to great lengths to define the concept of a primary device, right? That's the device that the user uses most frequently. So it's sort of a meta concept, right? So if you're coming in from a primary device, you want to optimize the user's experience for the device, maybe MSI is your best choice, right? So it gives you, it opens up a whole range of possibilities to make sure that the user gets the best user experience no matter what device they're coming in from. All right, so we looked at user-centric administration, we looked at deployment types. I said there were three things that are kind of new that matter to us, that matter to Citrix, to you guys. The third is the application catalog, right? So what is the application catalog? It's a web-based self-service portal for users to subscribe to applications, much like a shopping cart. That's what you see here. It allows you to not just pick applications, but also request for certain applications, right? And it creates requisition workflows in the back end. And we'll look at a demo of this, but basically you can request for applications too that the admin can then approve or not. Now, when you want to install an application from the app catalog, it chooses the most appropriate deployment type based on the user's environment that I explained on the previous slide, right? Also, subscriptions are static, and it's freshly evaluated every single time. So if you go from your secure corporate laptop to your big beefy desktop, it runs the rules engine once again and figures out what the best deployment type is. Okay, so they don't roam. So just because you're using AppV on one machine doesn't mean that you're going to get AppV on a different device, because maybe that device is not capable of running AppV. So the interesting part for us, of course, is that the XenApp deployment type, which I showed on that slide, is handled by the Citrix connector plugin and Citrix receiver. They kind of work hand in hand to make sure that you're able to deploy XenApp DTs using Config Manager as a single pane of glass. Okay, and we'll look at this in the demo. Okay, so how does the administrator use, by the way, Project Thor is the code name for the XenApp connector. So how does the administrator use the Zenapp connector from Config Manager? Three easy steps to deploy. First step is to create the application. Second step is to create your deployment types. So you could have either MSI deployment type for installing the application on the Zenapp server, or you could stream the app to the Zenapp server using AppV. Okay? And in addition to that, you need to create the Zenapp deployment type, which then takes it all the way to the user. Okay? So that's step number two, is to create the deployment types. Third step is to create the deployments. Create two deployments, one that targets the Zenapp server collection, which is where these deployment types get used, right? Because the app needs to be running on the Zenapp server. The second deployment targets the end users. So you basically say, you know, I want this application to be delivered to this user running on these set of Zenapp servers. Right? Again, a very logical, very clean semantics for configuring this in the Config Manager console. Okay, three easy steps of deployment. Okay, so how does the end-to-end workflow look like? That's what I'm going to show on this slide. So here's, so if I were to draw in a kind of an imaginary line between IT and the end user, you know, between the private cloud and the personal cloud, that would be right there, right? So, anything to the left of that line, which is all this, is IT. That's the end user. So let's see how the workflow happens in the back end. So here's the Config Manager admin. Config Manager admin says, when user Bill uses his laptop, deliver Adobe Reader using Zenapp. Whereas when he's coming from more powerful desktop that's got plenty of computing power on it, use standard MSI. Okay, so that's his intent. So what happens next? So there's a Citrix plugin for Config Manager, which I'm going to show you, that is used to create the Zenapp deployment type parameters, where he specifies what Zenapp servers to run on and so on. Now once the admin has made clear that intent, in the console, the Zenapp workers, they wake up and they say, oh, I have an app that needs to be installed. So the Zenapp workers there's an agent running on the Zenapp server that talks to the SCCM client that asks it to do the orchestration, okay? That asks it to start draining off users, because obviously you can't deploy the app when users are logged in, right? Starts draining off users, and when everybody's drained off and you're still within the maintenance window, the application deployment happens. Okay. Citrix, it also uses a component of Zenapp called Citrix Power and Capacity Management. Remember I gave you the example of the resurfacing the highway? So think of PCM as the component that decides how many lanes to keep open at any time, right? How many servers do you still want to be running when deployments are going on all the other servers. Okay, so once that happens, over a period of hours, days, maybe even weeks, the applications, the app now starts to get deployed in the Zenapp servers, as you can see in that illustration. Once the app has been installed on all your Zenapp servers, the Citrix Zenapp connector then publishes that information to the Citrix Zenapp database, making an association between the user, the application, and the server. Okay? Now, once this process is completed, now it's prime time. It's ready for Bill to access that application. So let's see what happens on the end user's device. So Bill comes in, opens up his laptop, and then he starts the application catalog. Right? That's where he gets the applications from. And he says, OK, I want to install Adobe. The rules engine runs, figures out that, let's say in this case, Zenapp is the best deployment type to use for that device. The application catalog then makes a call to Citrix Receiver to make the subscription on behalf of the user. Okay? So once that happens, the application gets added to the start menu, just like it would with any other deployment type. And then the user clicks on the app. But of course, when the user clicks on the app, it doesn't run it locally. It runs it on the Zenapp server. But it feels like the app is running locally, right? That's the Citrix experience. better, equal or better than local experience. All right, so let's look at a demo. Before we go into the demo, let me explain what I'm going to show you in the demo. So again, let's take that high-level view first. So in the demo, what I'm going to show you is the Config Manager console, where I have Microsoft Office as the application. Within Microsoft Office, I'm going to choose Excel as my example in this case. I want to push Excel to the user. And I've created two deployment types. One is the AppV deployment type. The other is the Citrix XenApp deployment type, okay? So that's what I do on the console. Now, as far as the end user, I'm going to show the user experience on three devices. One is a big, beefy desktop at work. Has plenty of RAM, plenty of CPU, lots of hard disk space, and it happens to be the user's primary device, okay? On that device, I want to push Excel using AppV, okay? The second device for the same user is a secure corporate department laptop. Again, it's highly locked down. It's not the beefiest of machines. And what I want to do on that device is to push Excel using a combination of AppV and XenApp. AppV running on the XenApp server, pushed all the way to the end user using XenApp, using the Citrix HDX protocol. On the home PC, home PC is considered an unmanaged device from a Config Manager standpoint because the Config Manager client is not running on your home PC because you're not joined to the domain. On that device, we're going to use Citrix Receiver, not the application catalog, but Citrix Receiver, to get access to the application. But again, it's going to use a combination of AppV and Citrix HDX, okay? So again, the best of Microsoft and Citrix, not just for the management piece, but also for the remoting protocols. So let me switch over to the demo station here. All right, so let's look at the IT admin's experience first, the Config Manager admin's experience first. So this is the Config Manager console. I have three applications, Adobe, Firefox, and Office. Let's look at Office. So remember I said there were three steps to creating the deployment. One is to create the application, which is what you see here. The second is to create the deployment types. So for Microsoft Office, I have two deployment types. Right, the AppV DT and a Citrix XenApp DT. So let's quickly look at how does the Citrix XenApp DT look like? What are some of the interesting properties of a XenApp DT? So I've got if you look at the DT, I've got two publishings. Right, those are basically your executables, PowerPoint and Excel. So let's look at Excel first. So I've got the name that you want to display for the end user. Of course, this is the location. You've chosen the AppV package, and from within there, you've picked, from all the different AppV publishings, you've picked Excel. Access control, this is configuration settings for integrating with Citrix Access Gateway. Content redirection, this is an important one. When users click on an Excel file, it's automatically going to use Citrix Receiver and get a Citrix flavor of the application. And it's going to launch it. Even though the content is stored locally, it's still going to launch it on the server. That's file type association. All right, limits. Application importance is one. Remember, this is running in a multi-user environment. So what should be the relative priority of this application as compared to other applications? So those are some of the things you said here. And of course, client options, right? What kind of multimedia experience do you want? What kind of encryption do you want? So on and so forth. All right, so that's the XenApp deployment type. Remember, three-step deployment process. I've shown you the application. I've shown you the two deployment types. And then the two deployments, right? One deployment that targets your ZenApp servers, which is this. By the way, this list of this collection of ZenApp servers has been synchronized by the connector. It talks to the ZenApp farm, figures out what are the ZenApp servers, and brings that definition in into Config Manager. So if you add new servers to your ZenApp farm or you create new worker groups, doesn't matter. All that is automatically pulled in. I think it's every day, I think. By default, you can change it. And here's the deployment to the end users, right? So in this case, I want to target all users in my company. And one thing I've done here, I should have showed this to you before, I have created a requirement saying that when the user comes in, if the user is coming in from their primary device, then use appv. Okay, so this is a requirement for the appv DT saying when you're coming in from a primary device, use appv. So that's the admin side of things. Now let's look at the user side of things. So let's go to the big beefy desktop, which is this. As you can see, I don't have Microsoft Office in here. So I'm going to open up the application catalog. Let's start from scratch. So, all right, let's refresh this. Here's my application catalog. Here are the three apps that have been made available to me. I'm going to click on Office. I'm going to hit Install. Are you sure you want to install this application? Yes. So what it's doing right now, it's just evaluating requirements. Obviously, what it's doing is finding out what's the best deployment type for this big, beefy desktop. Remember, I've configured it to use appv. All right, status shows complete. Application installation has started. It's downloading the bits. OK, installation is complete. So let's see. So if I go to Programs, Office, here it is. So click on Excel. Remember, it's running Excel on the big beefy desktop. It's running it in a sandbox environment on this big beefy desktop. So that's, you know, appv, Citrix didn't play a part here. But now let's look at the same experience for the user, but on the secure corporate laptop. Remember, on the secure corporate laptop, which is not the primary device, it's going to use a combination of appv stream to the ZenApp server, and from the ZenApp server, it's going to use the Citrix HDX protocol to deliver it to that secure corporate laptop. Okay, and that's what we're going to look at now. So here's the secure corporate laptop. Let me go back to the app catalog. Let me show you. I don't have Office installed. Okay. So I click on Microsoft Office. Exact same user experience. Click Install. Sure you want to install? Yes. Again, it runs the rules engine, figures out the best deployment type. In this case, it happens to be ZenApp. Downloading and installing software. You should get a pop-up in a few seconds saying installation is complete. There you go. All right. So here I have PowerPoint, and here I have Excel. But watch what's going to happen. I'm actually going to my Documents folder. I have a spreadsheet here. I double-click on it and see what it's doing. It's using Citrix Receiver to talk to the ZenApp server. And this application is not running on this secure corporate laptop. It's actually running on the ZenApp server remotely. But that little icon, that little pop-up that you see here, is Citrix HDX, you know, remoting the whole appv sandbox experience over to the end user, over to this machine. It's not running on this machine. It's running on the ZenApp server. So here's my spreadsheet. Let's say I'm at work. You know, I go in here. Here's a typical pie chart. Shows sales by geo. I'm going to change this, right? And let's say I go to data. Let's say I leave it like this, okay? Now my wife calls me and she says, oh, Prasanna, you got to pick up our kids from the daycare, all right? So what I do is I leave it in this state, and I head off home. Now let's look at the same experience on the home PC, okay? So let's say I've put my kids to bed. Donald Duck here. So I'm at home. This is a machine that's not domain joined, right? I want to pick up from where I left off at work. So what I do is, let me show you that this is actually a work group machine. There you go. That's a work group machine. All right, so here's Citrix Receiver. Remember, there's no application catalog, no config manager agent on this machine. Citrix Receiver is how I get access to my applications here. So I'm going to log in as the domain user. So thor.mms.net%p. All right. So what Citrix Receiver did was talk to the backend Zen App Server and pull the app, the list of applications for me. I'm going to say refresh apps. And you see what it did? It brought that entire session. It smooth roamed that session seamlessly from my secure Quarter laptop over to the home PC in the exact same state that I left it off at. So I can continue with my work without having to pull that document once again, right? Because remember, the application was still running on the Zen App Server. So that's it. Any questions? Use the microphones here.
Does it cache the copy on the server, or it still communicates with the machine?
That's a good question. So in this case, the file was stored. So when I save this file, I have a choice. I can either store it locally on my actual home PC, or I can store it in a shared location on the server, or maybe onto the cloud on using Citrix Share File. I have many options at this point.
What if the machine goes to sleep? I mean, your laptop that you have goes to sleep mode. When you have a Citrix session, does the session cache it on the server?
That's a good question. I'm not sure what happens when the machine goes to sleep. I don't know, but I can find out. That's a good question. Any other questions?
Yeah, I'm back here. Hello?
Go ahead. Oh, sorry, I can't. Oh, there you are.
Okay. So what would happen if on this PC you had both sessions? You had the PowerPoint and the Excel, and then you went on to your home machine. Would both those refresh?
They would both get sucked into your home PC because both apps are still running on the server. You're just accessing it from a different location.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so the question is, what if you don't want to save the document on your home machine? So you can set policies for Citrix ZenApp using the Citrix ZenApp console to say, to allow or disallow certain types of client drive mapping. So you could say you're not allowed to map drives at home, for example. It's a pretty sophisticated system for setting policies. We'll take one more question. I'm going to hand it off to Tony, but we'll all be here. Go ahead, sir.
So from a client standpoint, is it just the receiver that needs to be installed locally, and then the configuration manager part is just like installed on the console?
Yeah, that's a good question. So on the secure corporate laptop you're talking about, not on the home PC. On
yes,
the home PC,
yeah.
You just need a Citrix receiver. So on the secure corporate laptop, on the endpoint, you need Citrix receiver. You also need a Citrix DT client handler.
Okay.
It's basically a small MSI. Okay. Installs a DLL at the end of the day. So that's
okay.
Those are the only two things that go on.
So
the...
So it's not like a whole other client? Or
no, not at all, not at
okay.
all.
It's, okay, cool.
And even that Citrix client handler, you can push it out using Config Manager.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to hand it off to Tony.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Prasanna. Pretty good stuff, right, guys? Some of the stuff I'm going to go in next is VMM 2012. VMM admins, if you are here, if you left, you have to download the PowerPoint because you're going to miss some good stuff. So I'm going to go over some interesting stuff. If you're doing any scalability with any partners, such as Cisco, HP, for an example, going to be some pretty good stuff that you're going to like to keep your eyes on the screen to review. So what I'm going to talk about are some of the enhancements we made with VMM 2012 specifically for Zen Desktop 5.6. The requirements associated with those, because you just can't go install specific things to make it work. It's not like a patch. You need to actually do a VMM 2012 upgrade. You also need to install Zen Desktop 5.6, which is a requirement. You cannot use 5.5 if you're a Zen Desktop administrator. By any means, you must have 5.6. The reason why is because there are PowerShell scripts as well as other functions that are related to VMM that are put in the code to link with VMM. So you have to have it. Don't try to do it without. It will not work. Promise you that. CU1 is required. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can do VMM 2012 without it. However, I'm going to go to this side of the stage. You should use CU1 because it is optimized for VDI. That's all you need to know. It is designed to work better with virtual desktops. You can go without. You will get better performance, better results if you use CU1, which you probably all will have access to come RTM when that date is announced. PVS, Provisioning Service 6.1, is also required. These are the three things you must have to get to the latest and greatest of your architecture. Any of the things I'm going over, again, I can answer at the end of the session. We're actually almost short on time, so I'm going to try to speed up a little bit, okay? Can we make it better together? What you've seen and what I'm going to tell you is a result, of 6 months worth of testing at the Microsoft EEC in Redmond. It wasn't like we just whipped up some servers and said, oh, let's see how this stuff works. We actually did 6 months of hard code testing. I was partially involved in that, so I know that for a fact. The testing results that you're seeing and that I was showing you are just a small little sliver of what is going to be coming out, which is a brand new reference architecture that will be on Cisco UCS platform. If you're an HP customer, you want to stay to the very end of the slide, because I'm going to show you something that I promise you you've never seen before. Quite frankly, I'll probably blow your socks off. Higher scale density, we are doing higher testing as we speak right now. We've done and certified Zen Desktop with VMM 2012 to support 2,500 users, give or take a few, with testing. We've actually leveraged Login VSI for that workload test generation, 3.5, if you're not familiar with that, a lot of great stuff in that tool. Excellent themes for benchmarking and understanding how your hardware will perform. Not necessarily the app set, it's more how your hardware is going to perform in conjunction with certain things. The RA that is for Cisco UCS will be available potentially sometime this year on Microsoft TechNet as well as some other sites via MMS. So enterprise scalability architecture. I'm not talking about anything from Star Trek, so if you're Trekkie, no disrespect, but that's not what I'm talking about for enterprise. I'm talking about real hardware. If you'd like to see real hardware, come by our booth. I have a HP C7000 chassis with Gen 7 and Gen 8 blades loaded in it. That is stuff I've seen. Really cool things that I think are really impressive. So what does a flexibility architecture look like for 2,000 users? This is how we got to this massive, great number of scalability. So to lightly go over this, when we do a scalability test, we have to look at a lot of different things. But really what we try to do the best is figuring out what's common. What are most people using that have enterprise real hardware? What we did is created X amount of launchers to support 2,000 plus users, give or take a few. In terms of Zen Desktop infrastructure, if you're familiar with that, we have 3 Zen Desktop controllers, very evenly low balanced. On the far right-hand side, you're seeing 3 provisioning servers. Now, one of the things you've heard Citrix mention in the past, best practice is physical. But guess what? These 3 are virtual. 3 virtual provisioning servers supported up to 2,000 users flawlessly, without a hiccup. So to let you know, that's something that we've tested. Again, it's something that Cisco likes. It's in their architecture. So expect to read more about that as days come. VMM 2012. So these are things you want to take notes. Again, this PowerPoint you can download. After the session is done, it will be available. These are results that are from that testing. Now, again, mileage may vary. Keep that in mind. This is not a thing that's going to say, hey, Tony said it's going to get 2,000 users. Well, that was in our environment. Yours might be a little bit different. Again, it's more designed to test hardware, to give you an idea conceptually of how things would perform in X scenario or X workload. In this graph, you're going to see this is a PBS bootstorm. Remember, I said these were virtual. Pretty cool when you think about 2,000 instances. The full bootstorm for PBS, I'll go back a slide, we actually booted 2,000 plus in about 28 minutes. That's fast, dude. And it's virtual, and it's all in Hyper-V with VMware 2012. Pretty darn cool. Now, as far as bootstorm, you can see in terms of bytes, utilization, VMM did awesome. It kicked our ass and blew away our expectations. We knew it was good, but we know it was that damn good in terms of how it would scale. And again, that's one VMM instance, virtualized. So keep that in mind, one single VMM. Go to the next slide here. In terms of CPU utilization, again, PBS being virtual, you can see that at that bootstorm process, 60%, again, give or take a few here and there, is what we saw for general utilization on one individual PBS server. So again, it was handling the load the way it was supposed to do. It was dishing out virtual disks, handling the PCIe traffic across the hosts, or the virtual instances, I should say, pretty darn well. So we were very, very impressed with that as well. Again, all these metrics, don't worry about writing them down. You'll probably see more and more about them in the reference architecture coming from Citrix, Microsoft, and Cisco. So you'll read about this. You can get the Perfmon data. Trust me, it's months of data. And I don't want to put it all on one PowerPoint because it's like 10 gig. So you can read it all at a later time. This is the bootstorm process that showed how PBS did over that 43-minute interval, give or take, with 1,200 desktops. Again, we did scale up to 2,000, but this is just a snippet of what we did during that time. So again, it was doing everything it wanted to do and more. Hyper-V, in terms of total processor runtime, logical processor, doing excellent. Now, in that diagram, I could go back a few slides, but you saw how many Hyper-V hosts we had for that entire infrastructure. Again, that will all be documented. You can see that in days to come. Tweaks, VM enhancement, things that we learned that I want to share with you. If you're using VMware 2012 for VDI, and maybe not even specifically for us, but in general, these are things you should look at testing before you put into production. Testing, okay? Make sure you do diligence before I get blamed for everything. For jobs, jobs are important. Why are jobs important? Because when you have refreshers in VMM, when you have several hundred, several thousand, those impact what you're looking at from an administrative point of view. You may look at the console and say, the console is just slow, it's taking so long. Well, maybe you have your refreshers not optimized the way they should be. These are things you need to take in consideration. With VMware 2012, it does support 25 threads per core, which is configurable via the registry. You can change that on the fly. What does that mean in English? That means better scalability for VMs booting on and off. For example, bootstorms, doing maintenance. Those are things to keep in mind. They do make an impact when you're talking about large scale. Small scale, maybe not so much, but large, definitely. VDI job tweaks, again, a registry key that we highly recommend you give a shot, see if it works for you. This is the tweak on how to modify that 25 jobs per core. As far as other displays, cleaning up the database is important because if you're looking at the VMM console daily, and if you have tons of nodes, whether they're virtual or physical, you'll want to be able to clean up that database so that you don't get overloaded in the UI. So that's an important thing because you don't want to see unnecessary data from X months ago when you can just look at the last 2 days of data that you really care about. Scalability tips. These are things we've learned. I recommend, again, you give them a shot. Here's what we found out. 216 nodes with 2,000 VMs performed well. Now, you'll read about this in the architecture. There are some things we clustered. There are some things we did not cluster. It depends on what you need in terms of high availability or redundancy. These are things to look at and read carefully when you're looking at designing an architecture. 14 standalone hosts, again, in terms of all Hyper-V hosts, did really, really well for 2,000. We were very, very impressed for that. Running the console on the Zen desktop controller, big plus, big yay. Because when you're running everything from VMM, sometimes a console in 2012, because it uses a different UI engine, you want to make sure you use it on Zen desktop because it's easier on the eyes, better performance. That's what we found in our testing. Yours may be a little bit different. Watch out for VMs in a stuck state. Occasionally, sometimes a VM might hiccup, and you might see a state different when you look inside the state of that particular host for VMs. Now, I do have a demo. I will be honest with you. We're having some routing challenges with 6,000 highly intelligent geeks here. Bandwidth is a little bit of a problem sometimes. So I will attempt to show you guys a demo if we can. Is that on 4, right? Okay, excellent. So I don't know if it's still active, but if it does work, I will show you. So I'm remoted in. Now, this is that C7000 chassis straight out that hallway right across at our booth. So you're seeing exactly what I'm talking about right now. Because of time constraints, I can't show you everything. So that's why I really encourage you to come and talk to us so you can see what we have here. What I have is a whole series of VMs. I have infrastructure server, again, very similar but smaller scale compared to that 2000 user rollout. We just didn't have enough time to bring all of that with us. And I can only bring so many suitcases on the airplane. I can bring a whole extra chassis with me. So what you see here, just a few hosts. We do have, again, 6-7 blades in there, a G8 and a series of G7 blades. Again, everything's using provisioning server. Here's our infrastructure in terms of our host. Like Patrick mentioned, we have SCOM there monitoring our entire Zen desktop infrastructure, VMware 2012 doing exactly what it's doing. Our Gen 8 blade, which is right there, which is pretty compelling and really good stuff if you're an HP customer. This is something that I'll show you in just a minute, but this is the infrastructure that I talked about on that slide deck, but just a little bit smaller. Again, because of time constraints, we could not bring everything. But this is what we have. I want you guys to just kind of get an idea. If you're building an architecture and you want to learn from us, you want to learn from Persona, we have a whole series of people. We have engineers that wrote the project Thor with us as well. So if you want to know the ins and outs of that, you want to know the ins and outs of VMM, you want to know how it works on HP hardware or Cisco, please come see us. Okay? We have all this stuff running, and because of time, I don't want to go through everything, or else I would show you everything that I can. But I'm going to flip back over to here, and we'll just kind of finish this up real quick. So make sure we have plenty of time to get questions in. Key takeaways, before I go through this, who wanted that drive is a big question. Those that stuck around, right? I think I've got a fair amount of people. Did we run out of money, Patrick? I think we gave away all our money, didn't we? Shoot. All right. Well, okay, in that aspect, then someone wins a drive. So remember I said if you come close, you're going to win something? Why don't you look under your seat? Oh, look under your seat. Someone won something. One lucky winner. Okay, you're hot. If you're up front, you're hot. I'll give it to you that way, hot and cold. You're really, really, oh, someone up front is really, really hot. It's taped to the bottom of the chair. If you're up front, you're really, oh, that guy's really, really hot right there. The lights are blinding me. Who got it? All right. All right, I'll have you know, that came out of my pocket, so I have no way going back home. So I'll be staying in Vegas for quite a while now. But that is just a free gift for us. Thank you. There are some other things we left on the chair. If you have a smartphone, we got a little eraser for you. If you like to keep your screen clean, definitely worth picking up. And we're giving away at the booth as well. So key takeaways for us to review with you. System Center 2012, Hyper-V provides best flexible architecture. Things to keep in mind. We'll go through this as well. Each one of these management aspects that Patrick talked about apply to Zen Desktop 5.6, PVS6, ConfigMan 2012, VMM 2012. As far as Project Thor, it's coming soon. You'll hear more about it, and we'll be able to answer any questions you have related to that specific product. Increased scalability with Zen Desktop. Here's the final slide. So can you read what's in the bottom yellow? How many desktops per blade? Who can read that? 197. Gen 8. To prove it to you, there's the chart. This is a scalability test I did myself on a Gen 8 blade. So to show you that with VMware 2012, with Hyper-V, with Zen Desktop, it's some pretty darn good scalability. It's just getting better and better. So these are things I want you guys to keep in mind. When you're building architecture and you're trying to figure out, well, gosh, you know, who does what and who does what the best? Here's your proof. The proof is in the pudding, as Bill Cosby would say. So any questions? We are just about out of time. We have about 4 minutes, give or take. We can answer those because we want to make sure we leave time for you since your time is precious as well. So we'll kind of blow that up and we'll kind of just show you can see if you can't. It's 197 in the far right corner. And that's the max that we hit right there with VSI 3.5. So pretty cool. I'm pumped. I mean, 200 desktops, it's not far away per blade, guys. It's not that far. So complete evaluations. We want you to come up and answer any questions or ask at the mic. And we thank you very much for your time.